fans, and welcome to another episode of Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Sports Podcasting Network. This podcast today is brought to you by Untuckit.com and Manscaped. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show, and thank you for joining me on this episode of Bulls HQ, one where I'm guessing the tone of the show will be slightly different to the last one we did. That last one I'm referring to was with my old friend C-Red Fred. We came at you guys after a pretty disparaging loss to the Indiana Pacers, and at that point the Bulls had fallen to 2-5. Fred was on fire. He was mad. He was pissed off. We all were mad, to be honest with you. Bulls Nation was alight based on how the Bulls had performed in that game, given the Pacers were missing three starters. It didn't get much better the other night against the Lakers, the Bulls dropping that game. I wasn't expecting a win against the Lakers, and you probably weren't either, but I guess the fashion in which they dropped that game and the turmoil in that fourth quarter period with Jim Boylan, I mean, Bulls Nation again was alight based on how that game unfolded. So the last few days for us fans have been quite tough, but I'm glad to be coming at you tonight after a win rather than yesterday after that interesting loss to the Lakers. I'm glad to be back here on Bulls HQ speaking about a 20-point win against the Atlanta Hawks. We'll also touch on that Lakers game to a degree. I don't necessarily want to go over it too much because I've been having that particular game play over in my mind way too much. I'm ready to move on from that game, but I'm glad we can actually get to talk about a win for a change. That is nice to say. The Bulls are now 3-6. We all know that record should be a lot better, but I'll take 3-6 at this point. Because who knows, it could have easily been 2-7 had the Hawks come into this game with a full strength lineup. Thankfully for us, I guess, that John Collins decided to take some performance enhancing drugs, and that cost him a 25-game suspension, and that enabled the Bulls to have a little bit of an easier run at the Atlanta Hawks tonight, as well as the Hawks opting to play Jabari Parker and Cameron Reddish in their starting unit. I appreciate the Hawks doing that because those two players are not good. So particularly Cam Reddish, I am glad he is not a Chicago Bull. And I felt that way before the draft. I felt that way during the draft. And I'm glad the Hawks were able to take Cam Reddish with their number 10 pick in the draft. I felt somewhat scared by this Hawks rebuild and the way they were sort of progressing their rebuild. But when they decided to take DeAndre Hunter at 4 and then Cam Reddish at 10, I was quite happy that they wasted two top 10 picks on those players, two players that I'm not super high on, Reddish specifically. So that was nice to see that the Hawks were starting Reddish and Hunter. Reddish was terrible against the Bulls today. I have no idea what he was doing out there, but that enabled the Bulls to get out there and essentially play 4-on-5 basketball. And from the get-go, the Bulls looked like the better team, even though both teams were coming off of back-to-back, and it was the Bulls that were actually traveling to Atlanta. They, for whatever reason, after a tough loss against the Lakers and the Hawks having a nice win against the Spurs only 24 hours earlier, it was actually the Bulls who played a much more complete and free-flowing style of basketball, which was interesting to see. So thankfully, the Bulls got the win, shooting 50% from the field, almost 40% from the three-point line. That free throws are still a concern, 18 of 27. That is something that needs to be corrected. But pretty much all over the box scores, the Bulls won the rebounding battle. They had more assists. They had less turnovers. It was a pretty complete performance from the Chicago Bulls, all aside from Wendell Carter, unfortunately. You guys know that I love me some Wendell Carter, but he fouled out of this one after 13 minutes, and I'm claiming conspiracy Bulls fans. I have no idea what the NBA refs have against my boy Wendell Carter, but this is a load of shit at this point. He is getting fouled out on some of the worst calls that you will see for an NBA center going out there. I don't understand why it is. He's no longer a rookie. He's actually getting fouls called against him when actual rookies are fouling him. There was two plays, one where he blocked DeAndre Hunter clean and Wendell Carter was called for that foul. And there was another one, his last foul actually, when he was called for an offensive foul against Cam Reddish. I mean, how are you calling that in favor for Reddish over Carter? It's ridiculous at this point. I don't know why this is continuing to happen, but I guess the fact that Carter was fouled out of the game, that was the lone blemish in this Bulls win against the Hawks. And it was a needed win. I don't know how much we should be celebrating this win. I will reluctantly take the W, or maybe not reluctantly. I'm happy to take the W, but I'm reluctant to read too much into this win because the Hawks were really, really bad. I mean, I mentioned up the top who they were missing. Losing John Collins hurts the Hawks because it's Trae Young's pick and roll partner. So that's one issue. But then when you replace someone like John Collins, who's pretty much a 2010 player at this point, with someone like Jabari Parker, who can be quite problematic, as we've all come to see. That's kind of a double loss, so to speak. So I was happy to see that as a Bulls fan. That made getting this W a lot easier, and that clearly made life a lot easier for Lauri Markkanen, who had one of his better games of the season, 17 points, 6 of 11 shooting. He was 4 from 7 from 3, so that was nice to see. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, plus 19 on the game. So Lauri looked like the Lauri of old to a degree. So I was happy that Jabari was starting, because there's nothing like going up against Jabari Parker to get you back into some form. So that was good to see Lauri out there. Tomas Satoransky, though, was probably the story of the game. He had his best game, maybe of his career, actually. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. He was instrumental in actually stopping Trae Young. So the way the Bulls decided to guard Trae Young was to really play hard on him, blitz him, using that blitz coverage that I've sort of have come to detest at this point. But I think it was actually the right kind of strategy against a guard like Trae Young, particularly when John Collins is out of the lineup. You almost want to blitz Trae Young at that point, get the ball out of his hands and force it back into someone like Cam Reddish's hands, DeAndre Hunter, one of these guys, and force those players to make a play, something that they clearly can't do at this point in their careers. So that was the right strategy defensively against Trae Young. And Satoransky was a big part in curtailing Young, as was Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn was actually quite damn good in this game. 13 points, 5 steals, 6 of 8 shooting as well from Chris Dunn. So he's quietly actually had himself a pretty solid season, Chris Dunn. He deserves some love. But yeah, Satoransky was the story in this game. His best game as a Bull, 4 from 5 from the 3-point line as well. And slowly but surely, Satoransky here is starting to get a little bit more comfortable. And as he's getting a bit more comfortable within the system, he's looking more aggressive. And we obviously saw that tonight against the Atlanta Hawks. Obviously, it's a lot easier to be aggressive when you're matched up against Trae Young, a small guard, and definitely not a good defensive player. But this was the type of a performance Satoransky was capable of, and I'm glad he was able to show it tonight, because the Bulls needed it from him, and he kind of needed that performance too. So it was good to see that from Sato. Glad that he was able to show up in the way he did. And the Bulls just had a pretty complete game. I mentioned Chris Dunn. He was really good off the bench. Thad Young was solid off the bench, as he typically always is. Not huge numbers, but he was just his typical solid self. Only 19 minutes. I would have liked to see that go up a little bit, but given it was a blowout, I guess it's not that big of a deal. Kobe White, interesting game. There was moments where he looked quite good, more so in the first half, but 3 of 13 shooting, not Kobe's best performance. But the interesting aspect really of this game was, I guess, the adjustments that Coach Boylan made in this game post the Lakers debacle, which I referenced before. We were all heated, like I said, and we were heated more so not because of the result. Like, we weren't expecting the Bulls to beat the Lakers. I don't think anyone had that expectation. Even when they had a commanding double-digit lead, I think we all expected LeBron and AD to will that Lakers team back at some point. But it's more the process that has been bothering us, and the decision-making from player and coach all round. And the decision-making from Boylan in that Lakers game was quite bad from a rotational standpoint, from a play-calling standpoint, all of it. It didn't make sense, but I guess he corrected some of that in this Hawks game. I don't know why we had to go through the pain of suffering what we did against the Lakers when those adjustments were clear to everyone as to what needed to be made. I don't know why he couldn't make them in-game. Obviously, he decided to reflect on his performance against the Lakers and made those changes, but we got to see some changes against the Hawks, which I liked. I want to touch on them in more detail. But before we do, I want to quickly take a word from our sponsors. First up, let me tell you about Untuck It. The holidays are almost here, and you know what that means. Gifts. And what better gift to give the guy in your life than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, Untuck It shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts always fall at that just right length, no matter what his size, so he looks casual and sharp. I don't know about you guys, but I do most of my shopping online these days, and that always comes with risks, but you don't have that risk at all with Untucked, because every time I have purchased using Untucked, I've had no issues at all with sizing, with fit, none of that. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim and athletic guys of all ages. You can find your favorite Untucked style online or check out one of their 80 brick and mortar stores. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untucked, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. Best of all, their website is super easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use code BLUE for 20% off at the checkout. That's untuckit.com and use promo code BLUE for 20% off. Let me also tell you about Manscaped. Support for Blue Wire comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Now, if you're anything like me, we all know protecting our family jewels when it comes to manscaping downstairs is of utmost importance. Using the wrong blade or the wrong tool for the job can leave you in a drastic state. Trust me when I say that, folks. And that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And as we all know, you shouldn't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BLUEWIRE at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BLUEWIRE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code BLUEWIRE. All right, back to the show now. And I wanted to talk adjustments because I felt like that was probably the biggest talking point of this game for the Bulls. And what Boylan was able to do and the changes he was able to make, I won't say directly influenced the result of this game, but it certainly helped in terms of mapping out what the Bulls potentially could be doing going forward. So I mentioned adjustments. That is the biggest outcome from the Lakers game, and Boylan made a few changes, and the notable ones to my eyes at least was the fact that he had limited his rotation to 9 players, which was interesting to see given post-game against the Lakers. He came out and said that he was all about developing all 15 players on the roster. He was all about developing that bench unit and playing that bench unit extended minutes. So that was his justification for not making any adjustments or not calling any timeouts during that Lakers game when they went on that 16-0 run, and that's when all the ruckus started online, I suppose. But he made those comments post the Lakers game, but I guess contradicted himself in the sense that he did limit his rotation against the Hawks. He didn't necessarily develop or play his bench unit that much until junk time, really. So I don't understand that element from Boylan's comments, but he made the right decision nonetheless in terms of limiting his rotation. And by doing that, he's basically cut his 10 or 11 man rotation down to 9, meaning Luke Kornet is probably going to be shelved here, which is a good decision and makes sense to do so. He'll only probably play in junk time and or situational matchups, or like we saw today against the Hawks, should Wendell Carter foul out, those sorts of situations. So Boylan wisely decided to do that, meaning he's now running with a 3-man big man unit in the front court with Wendell Carter, Larry Markkanen, and Thad Young. So that is clearly the right decision, and that makes sense because they're the three. Well, they're three of the five best players the Bulls have on the roster. Those guys should be playing the majority of the minutes up front. But more importantly, the Bulls should probably be playing Thad Young more minutes than what they actually have been playing. Like I mentioned before, only 19 minutes against the Hawks. We only had 17 minutes against the Lakers, which is kind of ridiculous considering Thad is... He came into Chicago to be a sixth man, but he didn't necessarily come here to be playing bit minutes, to even to the point where Luke Kornet was actually matching him in minutes. Luke Kornet had 17 minutes against the Lakers as well, which is just ridiculous. So removing those minutes from Kornet, giving more to Thad Young, and mixing up the front court with more minutes with Larry Markkanen at center, that is the correct decision, and that will be an inevitable, I guess, adjustment Boylan does have now that he has limited his rotation to 9 players. But I think another key takeaway from this change as well is Chandler Hutchinson has clearly taken Ryan Arcidiacono's place in the rotation, which, as you all probably know at this point, Ryan Arcidiacono is one of my favorites on this team. It hurts me to see him out of the rotation, but it is the right call. Hutchinson deserves to be in there. He needs to be in there. The Bulls need his rebounding and athleticism on the wing, and the Bulls basically needed to get rid of that three-guard lineup. So instead of playing Kobe White and Chris Dunn, with Archie Diacono in that second unit. You've now got Hutchinson in there, and the Bulls just look a lot faster, a lot quicker, and a lot more mobile on defense. So that makes a lot more sense. And Hutchinson was pretty good in his second game back. He's clearly still feeling himself out. He missed a few layups. He missed a huge dunk. So he's still getting his legs underneath him, but he had 9 points, four rebounds, and played some solid defense. So Hutchinson has been a welcome addition to the rotation. So Boylan has made the right decision there in terms of going with Hutchinson instead of Archie Diacono, instead of Denzel Valentine or any other option that he may have wanted to go there, maybe even Shaq Harrison on the wing. Hutchinson clearly is in there and he should be in there. But I guess the three-guard lineup wasn't completely dead in this Hawks game, because we did see Ryan Arcidiacono actually closed the first half with Tomas Satoransky and Zach LaVine. And I guess the reason for that, we didn't know it at the time, but Otto Porter actually sustained a foot contusion during this Hawks game, which is a shame because Porter had 13 points in 12 minutes, all of those 12 minutes coming in the first half, 3 or 4 from the three-point line. So he actually had a good Otto Porter performance, but unfortunately he hurt his foot. So hopefully that isn't a long-term thing. Hopefully, well, it won't be a long-term thing, but hopefully it doesn't keep him out against the game on Saturday against the Rockets. But that is something certainly to monitor, and we may see more of those three-guard lineups if Otto Porter is actually out. Chandler Hutchinson started the second half in place of Otto Porter, but that meant Archie Diacono stayed in the rotation for the second half, playing in those three-guard lineups, and even Boylan was throwing out some four-guard lineups out there at some point. So he has been mixing it up a bit in this game, so he clearly has the ability to make adjustments. I don't know why he can't do that in-game and why he has to wait for another game or two to surpass before making the right choice, but those were the key changes that Boylan had made between the Lakers and Hawks game, and they were the right choices. So, like I said, I don't know why we had to go through the pain of living through that through the Lakers game, but he made the right choices against the Hawks, and I'm pleased to say he did, because the Bulls looked a lot better. They looked a lot more crisp. The players were able to stay in their rotations a lot longer and get a bit of a rhythm. So I like that aspect. I guess the one thing that is bothering me with the rotation right now is the fact that Wendell Carter is still getting benched really early. So one of the rotational decisions Boylan is making is having Wendell Carter come out of the game in the first 5 minutes, and that happened against the Hawks, and by doing so, the Bulls are shifting Lauri Markkanen up to center, and then obviously having Thad Young come in at power forward. And against a team like the Hawks, who are undersized without Collins and don't really have a lot of front court help, you can get away with doing that. But I like the idea of pairing Markkanen and Carter a little bit longer, maybe the first 7 minutes of the first quarter. But I also like the idea of actually having Wendell Carter stay in the first quarter and having Lauri Markkanen come out earlier. That way, you can put Lauri Markkanen into the second unit and stagger his minutes with Zach LaVine. I know that's something I've mentioned on this show before. I've had that idea on here before, so that isn't something new I've suggested, but I like that idea. I like having Lauri in the second unit with the bench guys, with Kobe White, with Dunn, Hutchinson, and Thad Young. I think that makes more sense than running a all-defense unit almost with Carter, Thad, Dunn, Hutchinson, and White. I think that probably that lineup itself isn't balanced enough, but I also like the idea of pairing Carter and LaVine, because those two guys have a really nice connection and bond as a bit of a two-man unit on simple pick-and-roll plays, and they established that bond when Markkanen and Dunn were actually out at the start of last season. So they've built up that rapport between each other, but coincidentally, Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn, we've seen them play good minutes together as well when Zach LaVine was out during their first season of the rebuild, nursing his ACL. So it kind of makes all sense all around. That's probably the one adjustment I would like Boylan to make, to flip the rotation a little bit as to which big man he takes out first. I would prefer to see that be Lauri Markkanen than Wendell Carter, but I guess it's a minor grievance that I have, so I won't labor on that point too much, but that's something to monitor more broadly along with all those other rotational adjustments I spoke about. But yeah, look, I think Boylan was much better in this game, and I'm glad he was, because like I said, we were all a rage post that Lakers game. What he was doing in that game was kind of ridiculous, and his justification for doing so after the game made it even worse. So seeing those changes was a welcome sight to see, and I think it has some effect on the result of the game. But like I said before, I'm not going to jump to conclusions about this specific win. Obviously, we're happy that the Bulls recorded their third win of the year. They moved to 3-6, but Like I said, the Hawks were pretty damn bad. Trae Young was really, really bad. A lot of that was to do with the Bulls' defense. The way they were blitzing him and making him give up the ball, I thought the defense on Trae Young was outstanding by the Bulls. He didn't hit any threes tonight, 0 from 8. So that was nice defense from the Bulls on Young. And once you get the ball out of Young's hand, the Hawks just have really no other playmaker on the team that you can really fear or is really going to drive that fear into a defense. So that was good defense in itself. So I guess it's kind of ironic because I've also been on here claiming that Boylan needs to mix up his pick and roll defensive coverage. But if you are going to blitz, this is kind of the matchup that it actually does make some sense against rather than someone like Derrick Rose as an example. So I like the way the Bulls guarded Trae Young. I like the way they made inferior players make the plays. And because of that, those players who aren't used to making plays were actually turning over the ball a ton. 24 turnovers, as I mentioned before, for the Hawks. That's a huge number, and that helped fuel the Bulls' offense. And by getting out in transition and moving the ball well like the Bulls did, 26 assists the Bulls had on their 41 field goal attempts, it enabled a lot of the roster to actually get involved. The Bulls actually had 6 players in double figures, which meant Zach LaVine didn't necessarily have to press offensively like he has been doing in the past. He only took 10 shots in 30 minutes. He wasn't out there looking for his own shot. He was more than comfortable letting his teammates actually get the ball and to make things happen themselves on offense. So Zach deserves some credit for that. I thought his defense was actually pretty good tonight. 2 steals, 2 blocks, and was more active defensively. There was still some head-scratching plays off ball, as it typically will always be. Zach LaVine was much better on defense, and I guess he can be when he isn't necessarily having to carry the load offensively. So even though Zach only had 10 points on 10 shots, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, there's some decent numbers from LaVine, so I thought he had a pretty good performance as well. But that pretty much wraps up my view of this Bulls W. It was a good win, one that the team needed to have, but in addition to that, I don't know if this is me just talking myself back into the team or trying to justify the remaining 70 odd games that still are upon us in this new season, but I was thinking prior to this Hawks game and post the Lakers game and trying to make sense of it all, and I still don't think this Bulls team is as bad as what they seem to be. And I think it all comes down to decision making and making the right decisions at the right time, as something they clearly haven't been doing. They've been blowing a whole bunch of leads, as we all come to know. I know some of us were expecting them to blow this double digit lead that they quickly established against the Hawks, but the Hawks were just so bad that was never in doubt. I don't know. I don't think the Bulls, even though their record says 3-6, even though they've played some pretty inferior teams and they've given up some bad losses here, I don't think they are as bad as what they seem. And I wanted to make that and put that on the record because I know Fred and I went off the handle in the last episode a little bit, and we were calling out the team, we were calling out the players, we were calling out the coach, but I don't think the Bulls are as bad as what they seem. And I say that despite a tough couple games coming up for them here. Obviously, they got the Houston Rockets on Saturday, the Knicks on Tuesday, which should be a win, but thereafter they've got the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks twice. So it's still a tough 5 games coming up here for the Bulls, but I still don't think they're as bad as what they are. And the way I've sort of been reconciling that in my mind, and maybe again I'm just trying to justify this all to myself, but I look at a team like the Phoenix Suns this season, or even the Sacramento Kings last year, and it just feels like this Bulls team isn't really that far removed from a talent perspective as those teams. It's to the point where we see the Suns, they obviously started the season damn well. They've had some impressive victories. They've obviously beaten the Clippers. They've beaten the Philadelphia 76ers, 2 teams who arguably may be facing off in the NBA Finals. So the Suns have been damn good, and they haven't necessarily made that many adjustments to their roster. They've obviously brought in Australian Aaron Baines, and he has been damn good, and I've been happy to see him playing so well. And Ricky Rubio too. They're the major roster additions the Suns have made, and they've been able to sustain a winning performance based on defense, based on simplicity, based on using their players in the right way, in the right schemes, and just making the right decisions all around. And it's made their existing young talent look better than what maybe we thought they were. I mean, Devin Booker has been absolutely insane this season. Mikal Bridges looks very good still. He's going to be a good player. Kelly Oubre has come out of nowhere. And look, he always had talent, but he's been a nice role player for them. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton is missing right now, given he's also out for serving a 25-game suspension. because he also tested positive for a banned substance as well. But it's just interesting to me to see how perceptions of specific rebuilds can quickly change once you get the right pieces in place. And those pieces can be veterans, they can be the right role players, but they can also be the right coach who implements the right system at the right time. And obviously, on this show, I haven't necessarily been pro-Boylan. I've justified that, I think, pretty well as to why I haven't been pro-Boylan. And I think the start of this season has been more than fair in that sense. And it all comes back to his pick and roll coverage. But I say all that to, I guess, suggest that the Phoenix Suns in some way are an interesting test case for the Chicago Bulls. It's not something I expected to say, given that how bad the Suns have been operating for the last sort of 5 to 7 years. I mean, in a lot of ways, they've been worse than the Bulls. Their ownership is probably worse than the Bulls. Their front office has been damn deplorable over the last few years. But all of a sudden, in one offseason, they've been able to flick the switch on a couple of good decisions. And those decisions, despite that ownership group still being in place, it has enabled that young roster to look a lot better than what they can be. And I just wonder if that can happen here in Chicago, to the point where we've been a little bit harsh on Lauri Markkanen, or maybe not harsh. Actually, our frustration has been justified on Lauri Markkanen. He hasn't been good, but I also don't think he has regressed or forgotten how to play basketball. Obviously, something's up with Lauri Markkanen, but he's not this bad. We've seen him be better. I don't think this is the norm for him going forward. The same applies with Zach LaVine too. We've seen him be better. He was very good for the Bulls last season. He was great for the Bulls in preseason. We've seen him play much better than what he has been thus far during the season. Same applies to Otto Porter too. Thad Young and Satoransky. Obviously, prior to today, Satoransky hadn't been playing that well for the Bulls. But I just wonder if they get the right people in play, the right system in play that suits these players, that maybe the perception of this rebuild comes back around, and maybe we start talking ourselves back into the players on this roster, and maybe we're not all jumping off the deep end like we have been doing. And again, maybe I'm just saying all that to justify to myself the amount of hours that I'll be pouring into this team over the coming few months here. But I don't know, I still feel somewhat high on this Bulls team. I don't think they're as bad as what they've played. I don't think it's a championship contender, obviously, at any point. But I still think they can obviously be better than what they can be. And we were all justified to be excited about this Bulls team coming into the season. I think we all had reasons to be, even though they haven't obviously performed during the opening 9 games of the season. But I don't know. Am I being too optimistic here? That's not usually my lane. I like to keep it real. That's what I tell myself. Some people tell me I'm a pessimist, but I don't know. I think there's still some upside in this Bulls team. They haven't been as bad as what they have showed. I just wonder. I think this is going to be a theme throughout the season. I don't think Boylan is the right man for the job. I think I've made that pretty clear as to where I stand on the matter. And I think based on what we've seen thus far during the regular season, that point has been justified. Maybe that changes over the coming months. But look, I don't know. But I can't help but look at the Phoenix Suns at the moment, or the Dallas Mavericks, or a range of other rebuilding squads, and just see that they've got everything lined up correctly. They've got the right people in the right spots. And it just seems to make more sustainable sense. Whereas maybe the Bulls here haven't got that in place. But I don't know. Tell me what you think about that. Hit me up on Twitter at MKHoops. Let me know what you think. Am I off on that? Should we still be optimistic about this Bulls squad? Is it insane to be comparing the Bulls to the Phoenix Suns, a team that have been far worse than the Bulls have over the last sort of 5 years? Maybe I'm reaching on both fronts, but I don't know. I'm talking myself into it now, even though Fred and I were going a bit nuts the other day. I still think there is upside in this Bulls team. They're much better than what they've shown, and hopefully now they can turn it around despite the schedule getting a little bit tougher from here on out. But that's all I have time for today, Bulls fans. Appreciate you tuning into this quick pod. I wanted to get it out there and to talk about this Hawks game. It's just nice to be talking about a win for a change. It's nice to see Lauri Markkanen bounce back somewhat and have himself a good performance, because we all know he's not as bad as what he's shown thus far. So I think the best is still to come for Lauri Markkanen, and hopefully that comes soon. And maybe with these rotational adjustments that Boylan has made, then maybe that'll help him sort of upspeed his season here and get back on track. But like I said, that's all I've got time for on this episode of the show. Thank you for tuning in, Bulls fans. Follow me on Twitter. I've mentioned it before, at MKHoops. Follow the show on Twitter too, at BullsHQPod. If you want to be part of the BullsHQ Discord channel, we're almost up to 100 Bulls fans up in there, actually. I want you to be part of it. So hit me up on email, BullsHQPod bluewirepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to be part of the Discord channel, send me an email. I'll give you the link. If you just want to send me an email, if you got a question, if you want to get a question on the show, happy to read them out on here. So send them through to the email address and hit me up on there. Hit me up on Twitter, whatever it may be. But follow the show and be on the lookout for the next episode. We'll be probably be back early next week wrapping up the Houston Rockets game. Hopefully that is a W as well. We'll see how that one goes. But until then, this has been Bulls HQ. Speak soon, Bulls fans.